Can people hear me? Justin? Justin? Good. At least one person. That means I'm working. Good. Okay, I've got that. Good. Wait for some people to come in. You're welcome. So, I've gotten virtually zero feedback on topics and things that people would like to see or talk about. So I'm making them up as I go along. And don't forget, you can send suggestions, things like that, to, I'll type it in. You can send suggestions, things you want to look at, that kind of stuff, to that email address, which is different from the donation email address. I've been hearing some bad things about PayPal. Well, I can't get any higher. Let's fix it on your end. So I'm thinking of switching over to HyperWallet, but that's still in the mix. We'll see how that goes. What we've been doing is, as we play through a game, I've been asking for people to shout out coordinates, and that's been fun and it's working, but I think today we're going to, I'm going to give options, and we'll talk about the options more often. Everyone seemed to like that judo game I shared. I might bring another one of those. How many people here have played professionals? Oh, Nanny, you did once. Good. So some people have. it's quite something. The pros are frighteningly strong. And it's really something else to play them. It's quite an experience. Yeah, Feng Yun, yeah. Radiating power. Good way to say it, yeah. Just every stone is so meaningful and powerful and will just tear you apart. You know, oh, it's just terrible. Yeah, the Koreans have the reading ability. That's what they're focused on. We'll wait one more minute before we get started. Rupachi, you asked if I have an entire file for Jujo, and I have a couple of the game's partial files. You probably have to look online or something to get that. I don't know who's, I think someone's been recording them and putting them online, yeah. Okay. The first couple moves, you guys play black. Someone get shot out a black coordinate. get the opening started here. Someone give me a black move. I've been quite cheap picking a couple times, so let's switch to this one. And now let me, quick question here. Which corner is bigger now? A or B? We're in half and half here. B is bigger. It's wider. It's one line wider than A. A lot of people miss this. But it's actually big. It's important. To see a more obvious case of it, this time the upper left is bigger and the lower right is smaller. So not that it's a mistake, but it's smaller. Little lag here, let's put some through. There's a secondary pump to it, here we go. Now, when black approaches the unfinished corner, he's playing in an unfriendly area. But if he plays in the bigger area, now when he approaches the unfinished corner, he's playing in a friendly area. So it's not just bigger, it's easier too. So that's something a lot of key players miss out on too. C16 and R4 are the same. In a manner of speaking, but again here, white's forced to play in an unfriendly area. And when we switch it, it's not the same anymore. Oh, well, no it is. Black can still have the same control. But all the same, corner B is bigger. Okay, we'll play this way. Get my marker out here. We know A and B are the low and the high Chinese. And then we have C and D. So these are the most common openings. And of course, you can finish the corner with E, but there's not too many curls that like these. Even though it's basic and fine, it's not picking up any speed. Oh, I see Manny's trying to put in the comments. Manny, I have no problem with you doing that, but I bet with all the comments in here that everyone's making that it's going to be awfully hard to read, but I certainly don't mind. C is very common. D is my style. Let me show you why I like this style. Because when it approaches, the pitch becomes perfect. And I just like that. Nothing special about it, but I like it. While we're here, I like taking little side roads. Let's talk about this directly for white. Feng Yun says this is fine, it's just Gisecki. She plays it. Mr. Yang says this is a mistake. So this is a move that both disagree on. if we play the normal Gisecki, gosh, I don't want to get too carried away here. Let me go into some detail here. This is interesting stuff. I'm going to take the pinch away for a minute. And now let's play Gisecki out. I don't know how many of you know this Gisecki, how many of you don't, but let's take a look at it here. Oh, sorry. Black settles, white settles. To the untrained eye, the corner looks much bigger, but actually it's not. There's two ways to see how small it is. One, if we just play out a simple endgame. We can see the price corner really isn't that big. And secondly, Black will never play that way. Instead, what Black will do later is to start here, and later on, Atari, White can't save because White collapses. So White has to take. Then there's a couple, and White's been just torn apart. So there's tons of odds in there. So it's really not as big a corner as it appears. But 0-16, unless there's something pretty darn urgent, Black plays this next. And White, generally speaking, will be perhaps at a spot here, and we get on with the game. But the bottom line that I'm trying to get to here is White settles pretty nicely. Now, if we put the pinch back on, and White settles, then the pinch is nothing, right? So Black has to find a way to stop White from settling. So Black switches to this. Now, White's okay for the moment. There's still some attack for later, so it's not over yet. But Mr. Yang says that this is just too easy on White. Feng Yang says, just actually, what's the problem? So, let's look at Mr. Yang's move. I could easily go into way too much detail here. I really don't know whose head I'm going over and if I'm going too fast, but we'll just look as we're here. Okay, so first idea is just cut. I'll play Shiseki. Black sacrifices the corner. Now it's the liberty race. White captures the corner. Now Black goes away. And again, to the untrained eye, White gets 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, almost 15 points in the corner, and Black gets nothing. But if we follow through with the invisible zones, some of you probably know about invisible zones. Those are the zones that are down anytime you want them, but you wait because you may want them different. But Black can force. And you can see now Black's thickness is really quite nice. If he just plays it right now, it looks great. But we don't play it now because there's a second option. And that is later on, N17 might be the bigger area. And, White's playing over here somewhere, and all of a sudden, this is something. And Black's getting a wonderful side on top instead. So there's two ways that Black might go. So that's why Black stops for right now and just comes along and plays this way and gets on with the game. Now again, Mr. Yang says this is just too good for Black, and Feng Yang says this is just too good. Okay, so that's why I like this opening. But again, against a pro, which I played this many times, there's no specialty opening that just works. It just creates a game that has a bit more momentum for Black. I'd say C is much more popular today. The invasions are a bit harder. And Black gets a nice big area on top, and there's just a lot of potential for Black there. So D, C, yeah, so these guys are the normal ones. Can you see who's playing Black and Black here? At the moment, I'm playing both. We're actually going to go through a game where you guys get to choose, and I play White. You guys are playing Black, I play White. But I'm just touching on variations as we go. Yeah, this is not a real game. We're just looking at stuff. So you guys give me a vote on the options in front of you. And any questions along the way. If, you know, if I miss something or a question I missed, just go ahead. Okay, I'm seeing mostly C's. Now, I used to really be afraid of this opening this light. So what I did was I played it on purpose for like over a year to teach myself that it's nothing to be afraid of. But still, to this day, in a real game, I'm going to go ahead and pinch, because I still don't like it, even though I'm not afraid of it. So it's my preference to pinch. But let's talk about that, because this is this is important. Close to the basic idea. I think we all know this Shiseki up on top left here. And notice, black has a solid 10 points and white. White has zero and just white, nothing else but white. And even that, I don't want to say it's in question, but white is settled for now and that's it. There's no points at all. So of course, black likes this. So if you say, I prefer this, it's almost silly. Because I've got nothing, let's just go on with the game. So I've given black immediate points rather than the potential points. So it's really nothing to write home about. If instead we just take our points, now we're the one getting life and points, and black's the one with potential, and we white have something. So it's, you know, it's not the one to be worried about. So, me being white, I'm going to pinch. And I'm going to pinch this way. Now there are two options here. Two pretty reasonable options. But we'll go with the regular one at B. A gets pretty strange. And this is a one-way road, so we can just play it through here. a lot of people wonder how to punish the honey. The honey's a bad move. And the most basic way to punish is just come down. White comes down and you cut. Now something's going to die for black. I'm sorry, for white. White ought to just take it, and we get to capture the stone. We won't go into all the variations, because that means things never end. But that's the basic way to punish the honey. Back on the Shiseki here. Okay. It's too slow for white to take these points, because white has enough health. Does white have to capture it? No. If white captures it, it's just too small. This white's already healthy in this. Now black got 10 points. White got 2, 4, 6, 8 points. And white has maybe 10. And white has an extra move here. So white's lost the whole stone. So this is really just too slow. White pinches always at J's. No, there's a couple different pinches. Any of the 6 pinches are fine. Yeah, white loses the whole stone this way. So white needs to keep the pressure up and start this way. Okay. So, A, B, or a pinch around C. How can white deal with the Aji of F17 later? Okay. That's a good question. This comes up a lot. let's avoid the whole A, B, and C right now and prematurely look at black starting the Aji. The idea is black's really quite weak here. Black, you know, not even surviving, really. If he dares, he's just so close to death. He can't do this kind of fighting. So, way too early for Black to try this. He needs a lot of helping stones nearby. The other one is if he runs out. Now he's about to reach across the top, so you stop that. And then you peek and link under. And let's speed him back off one. So we see that again, Pike got out, was healthy. But Pike got 0 points out of it. And we also see that Black is eyeless and no base. So again, just too early. So Black's going to wait. What Black will probably do is look for opportunities to play close by, encouraging White to fix, and make sure White's very small. Perhaps Black will turn on top and use that. So he'll approach, and that'll be his profit. Okay. I put A in, and that's a mistake. It's a mistake because when you go up, come up to the fourth line, that's growing, right? Black's trying to grow. And White can immediately stop him. And now if Black wants those points, he's got to come back down to the third line. So you can't go growing in an area that's not yours. So if we're going to play on top, it would be B. Now that's a pretty lifeless move. There's a lot of potential on the right for Black. So a pitch is by far the better idea here. And let's go with pretty much the normal. Price can get out. Why can I get to choose? I'm going to get out this way. Now I'm much more prepared to attack Q17. So that's the time Black is going to defend. And now I can have a couple options, and it's my choice. So for now, I'm just going to go into the corner. Whoever's trying to attack Black. If Black goes within 17. Let's say Black takes, starts playing a big move on the right. Probably to remove the writing direction. That's almost always the answer, is remove the next obvious running direction. Black can run to the corner, but that's a bad, bad direction for Black. It's barely alive, very small. So White removing that, you know, really takes the pressure off Black. Black can run to the center, but it's extremely difficult. So the side is clearly where he wants to go, and the most profit for White. So this is just game over. This is too hard for Black. So Black settles. Now, fourth line has become an option, not for going, but for attacking White. Now, if White comes back, the one behind enemy lines. So instead of growing, we're now attacking. Black settled nicely. This is a great blow for Black. So our fourth line changed from growing to attacking. Those are the two reasons to play the fourth line. You want to apply pressure, or you want to grow. And Moy is the same thing, growing. Let's try to answer for this move. about 17. Blacks come close. Let's go ahead and respond. Keep ourselves comfortable. Now, I want to remind you guys about something. In my lectures, I talk about basic thinking, which is what I think cue players need to learn. And I toss in, you know, just that key, and I toss in ideas in a more advanced game. Because that's what cue players need to learn, is how to thinking go, right? Black's coming close, you've got the big open white stuff. Don't you think you ought to pick? You know, black comes close, pick. Now, once you get stronger, you can start doing some readout and say, well, just how weak am I? How much profit is black going to get? Maybe I have time to play away and not lose too much on top. You know, you start walking a really tight line as you get into the higher dons. But for goodness sakes, defend yourself. This is one thing cue players need to learn. Defend yourself. If there's another one, stop attacking so much. I'd say those are the two biggest things. Defend yourself and stop attacking at every opportunity. Pros say this all the time, but amateurs just are way too aggressive. Way too aggressive. Sure, black can still slide in, and I wouldn't respond to white, it's just too small. Okay, I'm going to put some options down. Yeah, the captain. These five seem to be the ones that players would think of. Any ideas of which ones are good or bad? Just want to get some, see what you guys are thinking. Okay. Most people are talking about A. Now, I would assume that's for defensive purposes. But notice something. It's still, I can still invade pretty easy here. There's three comfortable directions to run. So it's very invadable here. Let's go this, I'll put a couple stones down. We're not playing their best or anything. But notice that black's D12 stone that used to be weak is now two stones that are weak instead of one stone that's weak. Black never really made a base there. He didn't connect home, he didn't make a base, he didn't make eyes. So that's kind of a... that's more for a moil. So but instead, we'd want to defend more this way, which is a practical move. Now when white pinches, black just runs out, and there's no way to surround black. And white stones become weak. So we want to get a strong position nearby, and that's plenty of defense. Doesn't develop a position. Now C, that's too far. There's no, you know, we follow the same idea, and again, the black stone's getting weak. As far as playing away, he's trying to base it just at the end. Now, when black comes in here, there's a real future, because black never defended. So, lower left was common, ordinary, no future. But here, the right side could get quite big for white. So, the right side, B would be the idea. Does that all make sense? R9 better than Q9. Yeah. If I was going to force myself to play around A, I would probably play this one instead. Because at least we're getting a base, and it's harder for white to come in. But you notice that white can't run to the side anymore. It removed one of white's running directions. So this is stronger for sure. But notice, I mean, you're just getting really overcompensated here. It's just R9 becomes silly. So it's not a great play, but it makes more sense than Q9. What's wrong with play in the open areas first? You mean like D? Well, just like I said, later on, when white approaches, here's where the board has interest. Q12 could actually get hurt, and we could take the fight to take a big right side. So that's the big thing, is more important than open areas is future, things of interest. And the right side certainly is a big open area. I'm not against it. I mean, D's not, like, unplayable. It's a big move. But I think it's a good idea to realize that this is a big move and defensive. But C and D, those are the big moves. Notice that E, that's coming from a less wide area, and there's a weakness right there. Black's real weak around C15, and it's low. That's three reasons why the left is really not very interesting. But the bottom is very wide. Q4 is on a high move, ready to grow. So a big difference between E and D. So I would say D and B are the playable ones. So let's have a vote. I have to admit, I'm torn between D and B. We'll go with D because that's the vote. R8. Here's a classic Q move. This is one of those in-between moves. It's a bad relationship with the corner. It's not a great relationship with Q12. It's pretending to do things, and it's actually not doing anything. Okay, white's move. White's just going to take a big move. See, now I'm feeling bad because that bottom area was so wide and so right. And we can, when white comes in, there's plenty we can do. Because we're so prepared. But I like you guys understanding the potential on the right. So I'm going to override you guys. Even though I was talking so highly about B, we're so early in the opening. So I said some confusing things, and I apologize, but forgive me, I'm an amateur. Okay, so for white, the bottom is far bigger than the left. So I'm going to pinch. And that's how you decide. Two players go, well, do I extend? Do I pinch? What do I do? Well, which one's bigger? The left is really, it's totally uninteresting. The bottom, that's big. That's how you decide. And you must choose a safe pinch. And so this is perfectly safe. I'm going to show something on the left. Let's look at a totally normal Just a second. Can any... Okay, I'll deal with what 6 inches in a minute. Can anybody tell me why this is bad globally? Why is it bad on the left? Yeah, low and low. When you have two low positions coming together, it tends to be very inefficient. So what you want to do as black is to notice that. Read ahead. When you choose Jiseki, what you want to you want to get to a point where you can see the end of the Jiseki. Now that's really tough to keep race, right? I mean, I can see so many Jisekis in my head just by, you know, and I see the end. And I'm bad at it, and I can do it. Stronger players can just, you know, see all the variations, and they're just so familiar with it. So you want something high over there. So if we start with this Jiseki instead. Now we have one high and one low. And that's much superior when it comes to efficiency. By the way, I always love this Jiseki as black because there's a future in this Jiseki. Here, I'm throwing away so we can see it. Black sacrifices an extra stone. Then gets this move for free. And then late in the endgame, you can get this move. Those are some nice extra moves to get. So this is a very good Jiseki curve like this one. So I just wanted to show that difference between the C3 and D6. Let's look at a couple of Jisekis here. I'm sure you guys know this one, right? This is very common Jiseki. Anybody know Black's next move? M5. G4. O3. Uh-huh. Okay. Back when I was starting out in Go, it used to be here. And this is the best for shape. For a living shape. Then we can, but it does leave this uncomfortable little cut. Well, there's a lot of options for white, okay. For instance, you use a false net. And, white can get very clumpy here if white's not careful. Right? White gets very clumpy and ugly. And if white instead comes out this way, you know, it's all very uncomfortable for white, but it's weak, and that's enough. So then it's coming straight this way. Now it's a strict ladder. Strict net. It's just, they get captured. So this one's stronger, but a little less eye shape. Then one you don't see too often is this one. This is a way of getting printed. We're about to surround white. White takes a position. Black gets to go away now. But black better be prepared because white can start a serious fight. Now notice, if white cuts on this side, black's very willing to give up the three stones. They're not important here. So white's going to cut on this side, and now it's much bigger. So now we have a big fight. So if black's ready, if black's feeling very comfortable about the fight, you can play this way. But I'm not sure I've ever seen this in a professional game, only in the books. And then the most modern way, which someone pointed out, and that's this way. And we need to understand why, and this is a crazy move, right? We have to count the cuts here. because there's an amazing amount of cuts. The area of one has at least one, if not two cuts. The area two has at least one, if not two cuts. Plus this one, plus this one. There's cuts all over the place. So we wonder how this is remotely possible. But the idea is, black, now the cuts are okay in the center. The only problem is the corner. Black, the corner's open. So black can't get very much there. So that's why black can play this way. So, this Kiseki, you must have the 3-3 open. So let me show you something. It's like this, and closes the 3-3. Now we play Kiseki out again. And black can't play this anymore. It's too weak. Black's gonna die if he gets cut. Real trouble. So black's gotta come back and play the slow move. The old style, which isn't used anymore, is just like it's all this incentive. So I'm gonna show you the answer to that in a moment, but I'm gonna show you another classic Matsushima stitch. Black removes the corner himself. Catch that? Now the corner's gone again. And black has to come back to the slow move because he himself closed the corner. So, don't close the corner. If white does, here's the answer. Black got settled and thick, good outside, good right side. Now, it's at the corner, but it's not as big as it looks. Black can just still live out there. So it's not a huge corner. It's just a good size corner. Okay, so that's some of the ins and outs of this Kiseki for black. How did you study Kiseki from the key level? Mostly from books and mostly from the sports and your games. I have my personal idea of how few players ought to learn Kiseki. And since it's my lecture, I'll give you my viewpoint. I think studying Kiseki is a daunting task. If you just one Kiseki and actually study it, which means you're looking at all the variations, what happens when he makes this mistake, how do you punish that, you're going to be a year on one Kiseki. I mean, it is incredibly hard. And I've done that, but then 2 months later, in the middle of the game, how are you supposed to put all that together in that context and remember it all? Well, it's just too hard. I mean, to study, I'd want to be a Don player before I actually started studying Kiseki. While you're a Q player, all you want to do is be familiar with them. Now, let me talk about that. My suggestion is that you pick up Ishida Yoshiro's 3-volume dictionary of basic Kiseki. In my opinion, it's the best out there when it comes to a dictionary. They're excellent to look up, very easy to look up, and the idea is that, and make this a habit, after every game, you'll have played at least one Kiseki that you really didn't know what was best. Look it up. And he has 2 diamonds for the most basic and 1 diamond for basic. And just go through the diagram and go, oh, I see, I should have played here. Now, that's not a lot of information, but it just shows you how the flow is supposed to work. And you do that for 3 months, you're going to start going, oh, I remember this one. It's that move. It's one move you're remembering rather than a whole variation, all the ins and outs, how to punish, It's just one move, or two moves. And that's something that you can remember and get a feel for. If you want to get more intense, pick up Korean shiseki books out there. They're quite nice, but really tough studying. I mean, I pick it up. I've got one that is getting dog-eared. I've used it so much. But still, I haven't learned anything. I mean, because each one is so much study and memorization and position. Gosh, it's really hard. So, just getting familiar. Okay. I could... I think it's Dong Suk for our, in our time, something like that. Okay. So, I did this way. Now, let's look at one other. Oh, we looked at this one. Right, and that works poorly on the left. But let's remember something about, this is like the same as the top left. Just the J16H3 stones are slightly different. And again, you don't have to catch the stone, it's fine as it is, but black's got 10 points, white's got 0. So again, black loves this kind of stuff. H4, I think you need for black, this Shiseki. We're looking at Shiseki today, that's interesting. Let's look at this. This is not used that much, but it's interesting, and when we're talking about Shiseki, so I'll go with the flow here. If I have two choices, let's start with the Hana. If one time you stone like that, we'll have you hit it. Now there's two options. First, let's have black go away on the left, within the left side, low to respect black's thickness. If you've already got a stone there, then you can play high because you have support. But if you don't have support, black's great. Play low. Play strong. Black gets the cut. Now we know that K2 is something, right? But then we have to come back and fix. So let's look at a better one. Let's just fix. It's also something, because if black goes away, we kill the two stones. So if we just fix, now the question is K2 the biggest move? If it is, then it didn't matter which way we played it. But K2 is seldom the biggest move. I'd rather play here and develop position than coming straight down. Notice we come straight down, black got the position, he got the points, he's taking our eyes away. So that's the trick, is to simply connect and then decide. And you might decide to take the corner, which keeps black down to one eye. That's one option. Anyway, so that's one variation, which doesn't look good for white here. There's too many black stones on the right. And the other one is to fix on this side. And then we get into this Shiseki. We can grab the Shiseki too, let's do the most normal. Since black has thickness, he's playing high to keep white particularly tight. Black has to get out. White does the getting out move. Black does the getting out move. Black does the getting out move, and that's the pattern. Play all your getting out moves first. Run before running. Even if it doesn't get out, play your getting out moves, because they're sensei. Just like here, white didn't get out, but they're all sensei. You're getting all your agi in. And now, you're not going to come back and live. You're going to kill the stone. Black kills, white kills. One of the basic patterns. And again, I don't like it as white in this position, because white never got a chance to defend the bottom. So that's partial looking, all these two seconds. So that's two patterns. based on the harmony. And then White can also pull straight back, at which point Black will jump. And now White plays on the fourth line. Black's not safe, Black's the target. So it's not a drawing move, it's an attacking move. Black will press the stones. White won't hide, because even though it dies, Black gets this forcing move, and this forcing move, and this forcing move. We don't want to give Black so many forcing moves. That just helps Black so much. So instead, just pull back. And even three in a row is not enough, right? So we make it four in a row. And that's the proverb for those who don't know it. Three in a row is not enough. Because all the strategies still work. Four in a row, now I can do whatever. I can fight to his heart's content. So pressing's no good anymore. Black fixes. Black will fix. Okay. So that's some variations from there. And there's more, but that's enough for now.
What is the natural principle time?
Gosh. Almost any time. Well, first let's define the four in a row. I'm sorry. One less. Let's make it three in a row. Uh-oh. Three in a row is not enough. Black is so weak. No. Black's totally strong. The rules only applies when the liberties are used up. Now, three in a row is not enough. Got some lag here. Just a second. If I jump, the liberty is missing. So three in a row is enough. So three in a row not enough is only when the liberties are tight. And by the way, we see that here in this normal Giuseppe. White is now three in a row. So if Black plays here, it's simple. White needs to play. But in the Giuseppe, Black jumps. Now White's three in a row is plenty because the liberty is there. So that's just an example of how we see it in normal games. Okay. I have no idea where we are in this. Let me get a couple of these. We looked at those. We looked at that. Oh, here we go. Got pretty messy in here. Yeah, we're looking at this position. Right. And I think Black's decided on this, right? He kind of likes the left side because it's developing kind of nicely. Oh, safe picture. Someone asked about that. Okay. I think of a position to use. Well, we're going to have to make it pretty soon. Because no actual position comes to mind. Okay, Black's got himself a wall, right? So, for instance, here. Like I said, do we extend or do we defend? The answer is whichever one's bigger. And you're right, the bottom's net is huge. So we want a pinch. So let's find a safe pinch. Well, White has to defend. I think White's dead. That wasn't safe. This is just White, there's no way White can survive that. So let's try another one. Let's try extremely loose. This is the loosest possible pinch. Oh gosh, I would still feel pretty uncomfortable. Black is so thick. Even if I lived, I'd be uncomfortable. It would not be a comfortable life. So there is no safe bench. So, we have to find some other way. If Black plays this way, we can still invade. If Black plays this way, we may decide to force Black low. And that would satisfy. Of course, Black started the five stone handicap here, so. So that's about safe pinches. While we're talking about this, gosh, I'm all over the place today. Let me show you something. Safe pinches, and I think we're caught up. So back to Giuseppe, really nice Giuseppe. Occasionally, it's worth Black to play an extra stone here to remove Black's center free profit, and because the right would be so big for White, but not in this case. But sometimes this is with the whole move. Okay, White's move. White's going to find to come back to the thing he's been aiming for all game, is the right side. Black is not going to play this way because he has a weak group, and White's just going to profit from that. So Black's going to cause his weakness and hurt White's weakness. White is not going to resist Giuseppe, because it's going to end up so low again. So White's going to do the same thing Black did and create a high position. Okay. Here's a passing game. That key players tend to get confused about. Because we just finished the opening. And transitioning from the opening to middle game, a lot of people get very confused. What do I do next? How, because we're about to start a brand new thing. Again, right. C10. No. That's part of middle game, actually. But it sure looks like opening. So, we haven't talked about the list today, but when you get confused, just bring up a list. And those of you who don't know it, we start with, it's basically three questions. Question one, am I okay? So Black looks around, identifying each group, and we don't have to go into detail to realize that Black's fine. So question two, is White okay? So we go around, identify each White group, and sure enough, White's okay. Then we go to question three, how many? Always count them, get in the habit, count them. How many big areas are there? One, two, three, four. That seems about right. Then we compare. And we say, give me a break, area four is so tiny. So we'll get rid of that one. And area three, compared to the others, it just can't compare. So area three leaves. Area one and two, we compare them. And without going into much turmoil, they're pretty darn equitable. And when things are equal, do your own thing. So that means grass is going to grow the left side. So we start with finishing the chiteki, or doing that extra stuff. And a couple things to notice. If we remove F16, then we have our next move, which is really obvious. We pressure that top group. He defends, and we start growing somehow. But that's not the case. Right there. So that's a growth chain move. So we're looking for moves that help. And just finding generic moves seems to be the idea. Invites invasion, it sure does. It forces us to invade. And if we didn't want that, then that means we take rip, look like this. That sure looks small. So we want to play the bigger move, forcing us to invade. Now you said it's about the two moves to invade. Perfectly strong at E2 group and defended at the F16 group. So both, everything's prepared, flexing and invade. So if we wanted to invade, we could also grow our own area, right? You should start that way. Same thing Jack did. And then we could, if we don't like the invasion, then we can grow our own. Invasion is clearly difficult. So I'd be inclined to grow my own area. Let's look at that. Yeah. Black can't cut, because black has that weakness, right? So we've made a huge invasion and growing a massive bottom area. This is completely out of the question for black. So black has to play this way. And now he's weak, he doesn't want to be turned. And still 3 mirrors, so he makes it 4. So we've funded black the entire left side. But in response, we just fixed our weakness and we created a massive moiner. So that was very interesting. Black grows, quite forces him to take it and grows his own. So we got a pretty interesting game going on there. Okay, we only have a minute left. Let's just recap briefly. Don't forget this. This is easy to forget. D's bigger than A. This is going to make the game, take the game from being easy to, gosh, how'd I get in this mess? Not that you're going to lose the game, but it gets awkward if you play A. D gets easy. And here we have a choice. And personally, I just hate black hitting that top area, so I tend to pinch. Towards the unfinished corner, black pinches, because that's the biggest, most interesting area. Now black plays fourth line, not to grow, but to keep the pressure up. And then you get to use it to grow, just like defended. Black in quotes was defended, and that's an opportunity. I might be able to play away there. But now black's ready to start from actually taking all this away and making white weak. So that would be a call to make. Big area, we touch because the bottom figure is on the left. Black chooses a jiseki that works well on the left. Black pinches because he's weak over there. He does it for defense, not for size. We have a duplicate just lucky. And then the transition. is to just go down the list. And we see there's two big areas. And I don't think it's out of the question for Black Princess to start this move now. That kind of finishes the right side. We could trade that Black territory now. And can't get out of control on the bottom. So that would be another option, is to nip this in the bud. Okay, good. Well, thanks, everybody. Don't forget to send suggestions if you want to see certain things. I guess we just spent a lot of time on Jaceki today. That was very interesting. I didn't know we were going there. Okay, see you all later.